This bonus episode of Makeshift Stories was performed by Mitchell Tu in front of a live audience at the Calgary Expo Comics and Entertainment Con on April 21st, 2022. The story being read originally appeared in our feed on April 17th, 2020, as episode 184, Diary of an Unintentionally Extraordinary Life. Please note, this episode was a live performance, so the audio quality is limited. We hope you enjoy this bonus performance.
Thank you very much for coming, guys, seriously. We do have a second story after the first one, if you do want to hear that, or we can chat, or whatever you like, but we'll figure that out. This story is called Diary of an Unintentional Extraordinary Life. This being my first post on my new blog and all, I wanted to talk about my origin. Isn't that how superhero stories are supposed to start? Or, at some point, get around to explaining? Well, I'm going to get it out of the way first thing, right up front. I want to be honest and set the right tone. I promise not to exaggerate or embellish. So, in that spirit, I must admit my story is not gripping or magical. It is, however, rather humbling and embarrassing. I didn't fall to Earth in a fiery ball cast out in desperation from a doomed planet. Nor, as a youth, was I bitten by a radioactive spider. If only. Personally, I find spiders rather creepy, so I never understood why Peter let one get so close enough to bite him. I am just the child of two average superheroes from a family with a long history of exceptional powers. Mom can lift buses with one hand, Dad shoots laser beams from his eyes, and Cousin Vortex conjures tornadoes at will. Grandma had a brain the size of a mountain, and Granddad could fly faster than sound. So, obviously, with a pedigree like that, I must have inherited something awesome, right? Well, it might, at first blush, sound amazing. Unlike most superheroes, my special power only manifests under very specific and definitely very embarrassing circumstances. Okay, I will modestly admit, I can slow time. And, under extreme duress, even make it grind to a halt. Wow, that's great, you might say. Between heartbeats, you could pull an innocent child out of the way of a speeding truck, or foil a supervillain plot, or redirect a falling boulder away from a crowd. All of which, by the way, I have been trained to do, and one of those I have sort of accomplished in the wild. Yes, that's great, you might say, or maybe you're truly impressed, but there is a catch. I was late emerging. That is, my superpower didn't become apparent until I was almost 5. For most progeny of superhero parents, their power is obvious at birth, or at least by 2. Babies will suddenly become invisible, or spontaneously levitate, or toddlers manage to teleport toys around the house, like my sister, I've been told. Me, well, I didn't seem to have any powers, to the immense consternation of my family, until a month before my 5th birthday. It's a moment I will never forget, and it's a moment of supreme personal embarrassment. My father, as his alter ego Steve, and I were standing in a grocery checkout line. It was taking a very long time. The teller had just called for yet another price check. I will never understand why people pick up a clearly marked item and then dispute the price. Well, anyway, that's when I informed Dad that I had to go. I know I should have gone at home, but hey, I was excited to hang out with Dad. He had been away for a long time on a top-secret assignment, and the universe still existed, so I figured he must have been successful. He and Mom were always saving the world. It was almost a weekly occurrence. Back then, both Mom and Dad had full-time jobs at Heroes, Inc., which included medical benefits and even a pension plan. I'm truly jealous of those good old days when a person with superpowers, once trained and licensed, could expect steady employment for life. But I digress. More on the reality of the current work environment later. As I was saying, yes, I should have gone at home, but I hadn't. I am both anxious and stubborn. Have I mentioned that already? "Dad, I've got to go, now!" I cried. I will never forget the exasperated look on his face. His eyes briefly glowed the way they do just before he shoots laser beams out of them. "Really? Now? You'll just have to wait." There was only one person in front of us, but behind us, the line went all the way back to the far end of the breakfast cereal aisle. For some mysterious reason, all the other tellers appeared to be on break. "I really, really got to go," I remember insisting, crossing my legs. At this point, Dad had gone pale, but I could tell he had already decided to heroically forge ahead. A superhero never turns back, especially when it means giving up your spot in a very long checkout queue. Dad claims it's a regulation in some obscure addendum of the superhero manual. "Hurry up, hurry up," he grumbled, loud enough for the teller to hear, who, in a not-so-subtle form of protest, slowed down. Honestly, it looked like the man was moving through honey as I felt the first warm trickle start down my right leg. I closed my eyes and tried harder than I had ever before in my life to prevent the inevitable. Then, unexpectedly, time came to a complete stop. Except for my dad and me. Realizing I had finally manifested a superpower, Dad laughed, picked me up, carefully avoiding my dripping right leg, then dashed with me to the washroom. We were able to get back before the effect wore off, sponge up the yellow puddle with paper towels, which we tried to discreetly stuff into an empty slot on the magazine rack, then feign innocence when time returned to its normal flow. "You've done it! You've done it!" Dad exclaimed in his baritone super voice, which echoed through the store. The teller and everyone else in line were staring at us in shock. It was the only time I remember Dad making a slip-up like that. You see, it's very important for us superheroes to keep our true identities secret. I guess no one remembered hearing his interview on the news the previous week. But who could blame him? His youngest had finally discovered their power. I remember how happy and relieved he was. "Let's go home and tell Mom the great news. You know you'll need to be trained so you can manifest your power at will. Stopping time. Very cool. I'm so proud of you," Dad said, grinning ear to ear. Shortly thereafter, I had my first major anxiety attack, and yes, it made me want to go very, very badly. Embarrassingly, I inadvertently slowed the universe, causing my mom to accidentally crash into a parked car when time resumed its normal flow. I had also created a cleaning problem in the back seat of our car. I'm afraid to admit I failed, both my family's expectations and my superpower training. I'm just naturally anxious. I worry about whether the toilet will overflow when I flush, or what will happen if I dress for a warm day and the weather forecast is wrong. Superheroes are not supposed to be, well, certainly not consumed with anxiety about everything and anything. Finally, I managed to pass my license exam, on the fifth try, by cheating, employing a full-liter water bottle and an adult diaper to get around my problem. Tanking my bladder up to 95% just before I was literally dropped into the test situation, my rented jetpack kicked up so much dust that I couldn't see anything. Why hadn't anyone at Heroes Rental Supplies warned me about that? I briefly considered not paying, but immediately dismissed the idea. I didn't want to create bad feelings. Who knew when I might need to rent a disintegrator? Anyway, I managed to thwart the theft of an ATM machine. The villains had attached a long chain to the thing and were about to use their 4x4 to rip the machine out of the wall. I gulped the entire liter of bottled water as I touched down. My bladder hit 110% and immediately complained to my brain with extreme urgency. Time came to a temporary halt. I pulled out my Academy-approved rented hand laser. What we lack in superpowers, we augment with tech. Quickly, and I must admit quite deftly, I lashed blindly out through the jetpack-disturbed dust and slashed the criminal's tires with the laser. I suppose I should have known there wouldn't have been 8, but I get so nervous that I can only focus on one thing at a time, and that time it was tires, simply tires, nothing else. Counting stuff or changing a plan of attack in the middle of an operation, that's simply not me. I can't think on my feet. As it turned out, there were 4 tires on the villain's 4x4 and 4 on the police van. The would-be villains got away on foot. By the way, I don't do manual things like running. I'm not very fast. You want fleet of foot, then get a different superhero. Time is my shtick, nothing else. In the end, I had saved the cash machine from an inglorious end. They gave me 50% on the exam. A pass. Barely. But still a pass. So, I'm now a licensed superhero like everyone else in my family. Hurrah! But, let me tell you, things have really changed for my generation. No lifetime gigs with medical benefits, job security, or pension plans. All that went out the window at the end of the last century in the name of efficiency. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Messing up words. All that went out the window at the end of the last century in the name of efficiency.
Sometimes words will mess you up, people.
All that went out the window at the end of the last century in the name of efficiency and cost-cutting. Us licensed superheroes are now part of the modern gig economy, self-employed, reaping the benefits of being your own boss and covering the cost of your own collateral damage insurance. Collateral damage insurance, a license requirement. Oh man, it's pricey and goes up every time a bystander files a claim against you. I'm sure glad I'm not super strong like Mom. She could never afford a policy with the number of buses, trucks, and cars she must have heaved at supervillains back in the day. And Dad? His laser vision was so strong, in a fight, he'd end up boring holes through buildings blocks away. As a hobby, Dad now works part-time for a startup tunnel boring company, and Mom crushes grapes for the vineyard they had managed to buy. It's a good thing they retired when Heroes Inc. was bought out and closed by the high-tech group behind the Heroes on the Way app. The app uses independent contractors like me. Hero on the Way, as their tagline claims, connect those in need to... Well, do I really need to say the rest of it? It's so cliché. After qualifying, which basically involves uploading a picture of your superpower license, nice and easy, right? You download the phone app, then wait, and wait, and wait. Hopefully you get the picture. When a request comes in from a potential client in your area, you participate in an instant, real-time auction for the work. The client chooses based on costs and desired superpower, presses accept, and the payment, minus 70%, is automatically deposited in your account. All very slick, and tips are also collected through the app at the end of a job. So I'm told. I've yet to get one. Cost, rather than superpower, tends to be the deciding factor in my geographic region. So, the fact that I accrue minimal collateral damage helps me keep my fees low. Better-known superheroes leverage their fame to command high fees, which offset their exorbitant insurance premiums. Some people fall for that fame thing so they can post pics of themselves being rescued on Instagram, at least in the wealthier neighborhoods. Around here, most folks don't have the money for a star, so there is plenty of work, especially since Heroes on the Way has started buying up municipal police forces and shutting them down, replacing them with their law enforcement on-demand user-pay model. So there is growing demand. Now, every superhero needs a name, an identity, or a brand, and it's been tough to come up with something original. The obvious and the best ones are all taken. Kronos is a great name, but already used by a time-traveling superhero. The Master of Time is a series of books. That didn't leave many options, and add to that the need for a domain name and a unique Twitter handle, and, well, I came up with Dr. Slow-Mo. Okay, before you trash the name, let me explain. The honorific Doctor has a long pedigree, admittedly more on the supervillain side of things. Dr. Strangelove, Dr. Doom, Dr. Destiny, etc. The exception is Doctor Who, of course. But, darn it, it's time to rehabilitate the honorific for the side of good, which I firmly believe it was originally intended to be. The honorific should conjure a positive image, not some evil mad scientist bent on destroying the world. So, I'm using Doctor. It's the old DR, changed sides for good. Now, don't run out and try to register the domain. I've already done that. I am Dr. Slow-Mo, spelt slow-mo.com, working one small gig at a time to save the world, with the best rates on Hero on the way. About a week ago, I won my first bid, something trifling, but we all have to start someplace, right? You can't expect to go from obscure to intergalactic superhero overnight, and this gig was one small step on the way to defeating the universe's mightiest villains, and gaining the respect of my family in the process. I went prepared, full water bottle on my utility belt, along with my rented hand laser permanently set at 10% power. The police van tire incident placed a caveat on my license around beamed weapons. However, my bladder was tanked up and already complaining at 80%. I dropped into the crime scene, this time on a rope, from the Hero on the Way helicopter rideshare, the cost of which effectively put me in the hole before I had even started. But first impressions are important, right? Who would want to see the superhero they had just rented arriving late on public transit? No, the heli rideshare was worth every penny I didn't have. The villain, an evil-looking border collie, was barking up a tree. Really, it was standing on its hind legs, forepaws on the trunk, barking at my client, who had climbed the indifferent plant to protect her cat, which in turn had dug its claws into her shoulder, as if its life depended on it. Which, gauging by the excitement of the border collie, it did. The noise of the helicopter momentarily distracted the menacing canine, allowing me to guzzle another half-liter as I dropped the last 2 meters to the ground. If I had paid more, the pilot would have hovered a little lower. Nerves, the lime-flavored water, and the jarring thump to the ground pushed me over the top. Predictably, the world slowed down. I really, really had to go. First, I strategically looked for the closest accessible lavatory. Then raced to the tree and retrieved my client, her cat still embedded in her flesh. Then rushed to the burger joint halfway down the block. I didn't quite make it, thank goodness for adult incontinence products, which are now built into my pricing. Confused by the apparent disappearance of its quarry, and driven by generations of herding instinct, the evil collie turned and raced toward me. My client and her cat took advantage of the distraction to discreetly exit the crime scene. This is why the fee is up front. And what happened to me, you might ask? Well, I managed to catch an express bus home, suffering only a torn pant leg. I've got that collie's number, and expect to be compensated. Sorry, my cell is beeping. Time to bid on saving the world, I hope. Until my next post, then. Oh, and please give me a good review on Yelp.
Thank you.
Been listening to a live performance of Makeshift Stories at the Calgary Expo Comics and Entertainment Con, recorded on April 21st, 2022.
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts,
Head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com, where you'll find Crow Reads. Rayanne Haynes delves into the nitty-gritty details of being an intersectional woman working in writing/publishing in Canada. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by the Alberta Podcast Network. APN connects Alberta podcast listeners to businesses and organizations in Alberta and around the world. Podcasters in our network are smart, creative, and engaging, providing an excellent way to reach local listeners and those around the world who enjoy our shows. Send us an email at hello@albertapodcastnetwork.com and we'll help you meet your goals. This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by the Northwest Fest International Documentary Festival, running in cinema from May 6th to the 14th and online from May 5th to the 15th. NWF is thrilled to finally be able to bring the festival back to Metro Cinema this year, with an outstanding lineup of some of the year's best docs and a few fun surprises. This year's festival is a hybrid affair, with over 20 films screening at Metro Cinema, including the acclaimed Nick Cave music doc, This Much I Know to Be True, along with dozens of feature and short films screening online. Award-winning filmmaker Alexandre O'Felipe will also be in town to present his filmmaking masterclass. This event will be open to the public and is an absolute must for anyone who's ever dreamed of making their own film. Check out the full Northwest Fest film lineup and purchase all-access passes or single tickets at northwestfest.ca. Makeshift Stories is released around the beginning and middle of the month. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. Audio mastering by David Hume. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe or follow wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.